Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, our great provider, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The words for our sermon text today are found in Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. So far our text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the bread of heaven. They feed our souls. Increase our faith and set us apart from this world by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, there are a couple of things that I know about our Savior Lutheran Church. You take God's word very seriously, first of all. You want to listen to it, you want to learn it, and you want to share it in love with other people. And the second thing I know about our Savior Lutheran Church is that you take your food seriously, too. Seems like we eat together very often in our fellowship hall, even if it's just for coffee and cookies. Now, I'd like you to imagine what it would be like to gather 5,000 men and families, maybe 10,000 people in all, and prepare cookies and coffee for them all. Now, there's a few of you out there, don't have a heart attack. This is hypothetical right now. Besides people popping out the windows of our fellowship hall, where would we get enough food for them all? On a hilltop near Bethsaida, Jesus challenged Philip with a similar predicament. All of the gospel accounts record this event. It's very important for us to pay attention to this. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a great crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Today, Jesus would test you. Answer in your own heart, is Jesus enough for us? Now, we're sitting here in church, so we might be tempted to say, well, of course he's enough. But imagine some seemingly impossible situation. Imagine that you're sitting there in that doctor's office, facing a cancer diagnosis. Or imagine that you're sitting at the kitchen table and you realize that you're not going to be able to make your mortgage payment and they might foreclose on you. Or imagine sitting on the corner of your child's bed realizing that your child is hooked on drugs. Imagine yourself standing before the judge of heaven and earth. The judge who knows everything about you, everything you've ever thought and said and done. He's been witness to it all. Imagine standing before him and then ask yourself the question, is Jesus enough for us? Is he enough for me? Maybe that's not so easy for us. Philip answered Jesus, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Was Jesus enough for Philip there on that mountaintop? Well, it seems not. Philip was focused on the worldly situation, 5,000 people at least, maybe 10,000, sitting before him. He was focused on that, and he was thinking about the cost of feeding so many people. There simply wasn't enough money available. And Philip wasn't alone. It also says one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Would we react any differently if 10,000 people came here for cookies and coffee? I think not. Is Jesus enough for us? We would look with our eyes and not see enough. We would reckon with our human reasoning and come up short. No matter how we approach this question from a worldly point of view, Jesus would not be enough for us, it seems. But this conclusion doesn't just come from the impossible situation. Even in the more normal situations in our lives, don't we often arrive at the same conclusion that Jesus is not enough for us? We certainly find room at times to envy our neighbors, to covet their possessions, don't we? Jesus doesn't seem to be enough. It's so easy for us to become sure in our hearts that we need more than God has given to us. More. That's part of our hearts. Even little kids are looking for more. And how does that look to God, who commands us, "You shall not covet"? Remember, he also says, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who hate me, yet showing love to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Sinful hearts don't listen to God's word. We stand there with those disciples, slow to believe everything that the prophets have said. Jesus was obviously the one whom God had been talking about since the beginning of time in his word. He called both Philip and Andrew and said, "Follow me," and yet they were slow to believe that he was the one, even though he knew the future, even though he spoke the truth about the kingdom of God, even though he healed people. They were slow to believe that Jesus is the Lord. They were listening to the world, not the word. Are we like them? Thank God that he doesn't rebuke us in his wrath. Instead, he gathers us again around his word to show us the truth. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftovers, that nothing may be lost." I think about Jesus' words here often. Have the people sit down. He didn't come with fury and say, "Sit down and shut up and listen, you dolts." He could have, but he's so patient and kind toward us. No, have the people sit down. Let me again remind you of the kingdom of God, because it is not of this world. I am enough for you. Even though the world says no way, my word says yes. And then Jesus offered up thanks to God for the food, and he distributed a pound of food to 10,000 people who ate their fill. And then he had the disciples gather the leftovers. Jesus' actions that day tell us exactly who he is. This is a great miracle of God, who created the world and sustains it with his all-powerful hand. This miracle proclaims that Jesus was more than what met the disciples' eyes. He's God in the flesh. Yes, this Jesus, he is sufficient for you. He is enough. You need not worry. God loves you. He will provide for you. He provides for the birds, and yet you are much more precious than they. Why doubt? And yet we find reason for doubting, don't we? We've sinned against God. We've heard what he said and then done the opposite. Why should he care for me, we wonder. And yet Jesus answers that question too. God would have condemned all of us to a certain and eternal future in hell had it not been for Jesus. God promised to set us free from our sins, to blot out our iniquities, and God did that by sending his own Son in human flesh. He lived his life with no sin to become sin for us. He was tempted in every way that we are, and yet was without sin, it says. He came to be wounded for us, so that by his stripes we would be healed. He came to die on the cross for us, forsaken by God, so that we would not be forsaken. He did this for us, to wash away the scarlet of sin, so that we are whiter than snow in God's eyes. And he did that with a payment of his own lifeblood. And then he rose again from the dead, as the scriptures say, because his sacrifice was acceptable. He did it. He was sufficient. We believe this because God has worked the miracle of faith in our hearts so that we hear him and trust him. He has taken that hard, sinful heart of ours and begun replacing it already with a new and real life, a living heart in Christ. Eyes of faith see the truth. Jesus is enough. We believe this. We have seen God fill up the baskets again and again. And even if we don't see it in our lifetimes, we know that he will give us more than we need. He will give us heaven itself because he's promised and he doesn't lie. So why is it that we sometimes answer the question, "Is Jesus enough?" Why is it that we answer with maybe? When we ask Jesus, "Is Jesus enough?" Why break down at the bad diagnosis? Why doubt his goodness when we see something awful happen to an outwardly good person? Why are we quick to say, "Jesus loves me," and then act as though we pay him no attention? Well, it's because we still sin. Because that old nature is still a part of us. And we are prone, like the disciples, to either make Jesus into a bread king or to pay no attention to him. Think of the miracle. Jesus feeds all these people. They saw the bread and the fish. And they said to themselves, instead of saying, "This is our God," they said, "Let's make him a king. He's a good guy to have around. He'll feed us." That's one reaction of the sinful heart, to try to make the big guy upstairs do our work. How ridiculous that is. Jesus' real work is not making bread and feeding people for a few years until they die. Jesus' work is feeding us with the bread that keeps us alive forever, so that we will live and not die. The other reaction that people have sometimes is to simply pay him no mind. And sometimes we do this too. Confirmands suddenly stop studying the catechism and the scriptures once they're confirmed. Adults hear the word in church and then walk out and forget it for the rest of the week. We rob ourselves of the one person who is enough for us. So what does Jesus say to this? He says, "Have the people sit down." And when he has said that, he comes here again and again with his word to perform this great miracle of feeding our starving souls the bread of life, so that our faith will once again be strengthened, so that we will turn away from our sins in repentance. This is a good thing. Jesus is enough for us, and I think that this would be a pretty good thing for all those people out here in our community. Imagine we get to feed the hungry who are starving to death spiritually. You and I, we get to feed them and proclaim the wonders of our God, who is Christ Jesus, our Savior. We get to say with contentment, "Jesus is my all in all." And we get to say to the world, "Come and see this Jesus, who heals all your diseases and crowns your life with love and compassion, who gives us rest, peace, and eternal life." Who knows, ladies and gentlemen, this news, with this good news, maybe God will bless us with the predicament of feeding 10,000 people someday. Maybe he will take care of us in that way, or maybe not. But no matter what, he is enough for us. His word is true. His word gives us eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is enough. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.